All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us again for another FinOps Fridays. Today, we've got Andy Westbrook, who is the Director of Cloud Transformation over at NTT Data. Andy, thanks for coming on. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've got going on over at NTT.
Cool. Thanks. So I'm based in the UK on the South Coast near Dover. I've been working for NTT for around 14 years now. Moved into a cloud transformation role around 3 years ago. And then during that journey, kind of picked up FinOps as a discipline, and then grew the team over the last kind of year. We've now got 7 people working in FinOps. We look after NTT's internal consumption of Azure. So we're a single hyperscaler. We only have our internal workloads in Azure. And we look after all of the internal applications for NTT globally. A couple of interesting facts. We were, I think, one of the first companies to deploy savings plans working in partnership with Microsoft. And we recently won a FinOps award last week at the I.O. conference for sustainable AI.
All right. That's awesome. And congratulations on all counts, really, man, because it's no small feat getting a FinOps team up and running. So looking forward to talking more about all of it. Andy, before we do that, though, let's go ahead and run through our rapid fire questions to learn a little bit more about you. Okay. So first one, are you a Mac guy or a PC guy?
Mac.
Android or Apple?
Apple.
And do you prefer chat or email?
Chat.
All right. Slack or Teams for your chat apps? All right. And then do you prefer your meetings like online, or would you rather be in person for those?
Mix of both, really.
Yeah, sometimes. I guess it depends on what you got going on, right?
You can't beat personal interaction.
Yeah. Well, are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a night owl. I'm not a morning person.
All right. Yeah, thanks for doing this at this time, too. You're much later than we are right now. Do you prefer coffee or tea? I'm not going to make an assumption because you're in the UK.
I am definitely a coffee, but decaf only. No, I call it no fun coffee. I drink black coffee, decaf, no sugar. It's no fun coffee.
Nice. All right. Well, do you prefer the spring or like the fall when it comes to seasons?
Spring.
Okay. Spring. And cake or pie?
Pie.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffle.
And dogs or cats or neither?
Cats.
Okay. A cat guy. All right. Do you like, when you go on vacation, do you like to go to the beach or to the mountains or take a tour? Or maybe you got enough mountains because you're in Dover and they got the cliffs there, right? That's like a whole thing.
We live on the beach, which is nice. We tend to take a city tour, or we go to the mountains when we go on vacation.
All right, great. And are you more introverted or extroverted, do you think?
Definitely extroverted.
All right, awesome. Yeah, well, thanks for doing this. That's great then. All right, man. Fantastic. Well, let's dive into it here. So when we were talking back and forth, we've had a couple of conversations and gone back and forth the email as well here. We wanted to dive into, as you all, you know, you've got your FinOps team running, like you said, and you're starting to really dive into some more advanced AI deployments and use cases. What can you talk about some of the challenges associated with that, especially when it comes to like your approach for establishing how you guys are looking at utilization and consumption and cost and measuring that when it comes to the AI workloads and deployments? And can you talk a little about what you guys are, you know, whatever level you feel comfortable with what NTT has going on with AI.
Yeah, sure. So NTT's recently rebranded as an AI first company. We're putting AI at the front of everything we do, both within NTT in terms of how we consume AI and also how we go to market and partner with our clients as well. So for my team, it was really important that as we invest in AI internally, we can track, monitor the usage associated with token consumption and infrastructure cost in the same way that we do with many other FinOps resources. But this one is growing at such a rate internally that there was, you know, a real scrabble to get hold of the key data to identify what were the large language models, the LLMs that we were using internally, and then being able to look at the utilization consumption against each of those large language models to determine whether we were utilizing the correct ones. There are multiple prices that are available from all of the different hyperscalers, but within Azure, there are multiple prices concerning different LLMs, and you pay a vast difference between, say, a GPT-4.0 to a GPT-4.mini or a nano. So looking at those different use cases and LLMs was important for us to help the organization make important decisions around what infrastructure we were looking to deploy within our inside AI environment.
Yeah. And as far as like, have you guys looked at and been had the opportunity yet and had enough data yet to start like optimizing any of those when it comes to the actual like utilization and cost as time has gone on? Or is it pretty much you're still kind of getting in those initial deployments of the models and the things that you're doing and kind of just observing how they're doing right now before you make any of those changes? And what is that? What does the time scale on that look like, right? How long when you deploy something, if you can answer this, right? Like how long do you feel like it takes before you really realize if something's really majorly wrong or needs to be improved, or, you know, if it's going to be sustainable when it comes to utilization and cost?
We partner with the organization internally. So like with FinOps, we've got many different personas. Yeah, the personas for AI within FinOps have changed and altered slightly. There is an AI center of excellence within NTT data, which pulls together a number of different stakeholders from different personas in finance, DevOps, marketing. And I think that's important because we hold regular reviews in terms of governance calls. We look at new use cases that are being requested by different parts of the organization. We look at what we believe are the impact of those use cases from a forecasting perspective, both from an infrastructure and a token consumption. And then we set a parameter with those use case owners to say, this is what we believe the forecast estimate cost is going to be for your AI use case. And then we can put cost triggers within our hyperscaler or within our FinOps tool, Apptio Cloud Ability, so that when that threshold is breached, it will generate an alert to the use case owner to say, your spend has gone above the budgeted commitment level. And then it's simply a case of either ratcheting back some of the consumption within AI that might be looking at the users that have got access to the tooling, or going back and having a conversation with the business around budget. So that's kind of the front end from a governance perspective. But the back end, what we're doing is tracking token consumption now. And what we can see within our platform, again, Apptio Cloud Ability, is that token consumption is doubling month on month. So we started off in April with just over 5 billion tokens a month. In July, that had exceeded 22 billion. So getting a handle on your token consumption, I think, is going to be critical for organizations. Getting visibility first around what you're using, and then making important decisions around how you adjust what you're purchasing and how you're using LLMs. So for an example, we've got 58 different LLMs that we're using within NTT currently today. And we can track the token consumption for each of those LLMs on a monthly basis. We then have a lookup table that looks at the price per million tokens. So we can do a quick assessment around what the cost of each of those LLMs is. And then again, using Cloud Ability, we've got the cost coming through for cognitive services. So we can associate a cost per token and also the volume. Then what we do is we go back into the organization and have a shift left mentality, go and talk to the developer community, and we show them the data. We show them how they're using different LLMs. And then we ask them whether they can trial different LLMs that have a lower cost rate per million tokens. Things like latency are considered, so we have to be conscious around the user experience. But we test on a monthly basis different LLMs, and then we make a joint decision with the developer community around what LLMs we're going to set as default for the coming month, taking advantage of any cheap rates or any benefits that any of the hyperscalers offer. So in Azure, we'll review those price per million tokens on a monthly basis and then select LLMs based on that pricing model.
Okay, so that is such a good, man, that's a really good way of approaching it all. It feels like taking kind of this like a traditional idea of what, you know, we would call a cloud center of excellence, creating a new AI center of excellence for those AI products / use cases, right? And then having a regular review of performance and optimization via a testing process with your development team to ensure that you're getting the most and using the right models on an ongoing basis. That's a really smart way of doing this, man. I'm pretty impressed just hearing this through this conversation. Did you all, is that an approach that you basically adapted from like FinOps practices over time with your team moving into these new use cases? Or is that something that you kind of had to sit down and collaborate with the team to get buy-in to make happen, or both?
Well, yeah, we had to do a combination of both, and it is an ongoing dialogue all the time. So because AI is advancing so quickly, you know, we have a monthly governance check-in with the developer community, and we talk about token consumption. We talk about where we've seen increases in token consumption for more expensive LLMs and why that's been the case. We talk about why we've seen an increase in token consumption for some of the lower priced LLMs. And then we make a joint decision around what the strategy is going to be for the further month. So, for example, last month, we talked about switching our LLMs over from a GPT-4 to using OpenAI, and what the impact on the cost per million tokens would be using OpenAI versus GPT from Azure. We were looking at deploying PTU reservations, provisional throughput reservations within our Azure tenant. And that's something that we're starting to model at the moment, using third-party LLMs, so punching out to AWS Bedrock and using Llama and some of the other LLMs that are available outside of Azure that we can reach through Azure OpenAI, using AI orchestrators, so things like LangChain, Kernel, PromptFlow. I think AI orchestrators are really a game changer for AI and really drive cost optimization. And that was something that the developer community shared with us. So they were keen on using AI orchestrators. This is something that we'd not heard about in the FinOps community. Went away, we did the research around the different AI orchestrators and what they're doing within the environment. And now we've got a partnership with the developer community to monitor the impact that they have on the environment. And then things like setting default LLMs. So 5.1 mini and nano came out recently from Microsoft. As soon as that came out, we were testing that in comparison to 4.1 mini just to see what the latency and the performance was like, because there is a cost benefit. So every month there is a dialogue that happens with the developing community, and we create a series of actions jointly that we go away and invest in, measure, and then we refine with a course correction and what we do differently the following month after.
I think that more and more you're seeing this recognition that there needs to be, as we mentioned, right, this more of like a shift left approach to FinOps, people leaning into that. I know we're working on things for governance, right, for bringing up and surfacing policies into the developer pipeline so that they can proactively see what's going on there. Do you feel like the engineering teams have been receptive? And can you, you know, I guess the best question here is like, how are you getting buy-in from them? How are you making them understand this is important and you need to pay attention here, even though it's not traditionally a metric that you care about, right? It's usually about just performance, but now look, cost and consumption is also really important. How are you getting them to get buy-in?
There's a couple of ways of doing that, and it's always carrot and stick. So we are now measuring, or we've put in some models to measure the cost of inaction. So what we're doing is driving a conversation with the application owners around what they could have saved, and the fact that they've delayed making the decision has cost the organization X amount of money by not making that decision. But I think what's really important is that, you know, the partnership we've got with GreenOps now within NTT and within our FinOps community. We are now looking at the carbon consumption, kilowatt usage, and water consumption at a per resource level. And then when we're seeing a cost recommendation to change a SKU, we can now attach a carbon sustainability kilowatt. And then what we're doing is we're leading with the sustainability benefit with the developer community rather than the cost benefit. Because really, cost? Why would they
give? You guys are killing the planet. Look, you're killing the planet. Save us money, save the planet, but save the planet first. It's fantastic. That's why I'm cracking up here. It's so great.
We have a metric in terms of number of trees saved. So what we do is we lead on a conversation. So this recommendation is going to save 64 trees. You know, when are you going to act? When are you going to do something about this? And we're finding the developer community are more receptive to that approach than they are to a cost conversation. Cost is important, but people really care about the environment.
Well, and it's almost always correlated, except though, right? It's not always. And you mentioned earlier when you were talking about optimization of AI, where you're having your consumption go up and the carbon go down. So it's kind of like, you know, it's much less, that correlation is inverted when it comes to the more traditional instances and resources in the cloud. But again, even with them, it's not always, a static relationship, right? So it is really funny though. It almost always is, but that's a really smart way to approach it.
I mean, you know, a lot of organizations, I think, are, you know, we're seeing, it was one of the critical areas that we evaluated around FinOps tools, and were providers able to surface recommendations that had sustainable metrics as well as cost metrics? Very few did. Interestingly, Microsoft has just released a new update to their Azure Advisor in the last week, where if you go in, you can see recommendations from Azure now that show carbon metrics, sustainability metrics. So they've actually jumped on the bandwagon and said, you know, we recognize how important this is to drive actionable insight. And they've made the investment to surface these recommendations and update Azure Advisor, which I think is awesome. When we started the FinOps journey, we deployed the tool in and we were trialing it. We went to our SAP team, and our SAP team said, you can't tell us anything that we don't already know. Right. We know our environment is optimized to the max. We have a dialogue with Microsoft. We have a dialogue with SAP. And you're going to try and tell us that, you know, we've got underutilization and we should be using different SKUs. We can tell you there's nothing that you can teach us. And we were like, okay, we get that. You're the experts. We'd love to learn from you. So turning it around on its head, let's share the data with you. Let's see what the data's showing. And let's learn from you how you're driving that approach, because that's wonderful. And if we can take that best practice and put you on a pedestal and say, here's the benchmark of excellence, everyone in our organization should be adopting, you know, a FinOps mindset like this team. And when we shared the data and they started analyzing it, they came back and they said, oh, so we've realized that actually we've got some reserved instances that expired and we didn't renew them. So actually, there's a bunch of reserved instances that we should probably deploy within our environment. But we were like, okay, so that's cool. So yeah, this is a little actionable insight.
Still doing great. And
so, yeah.
You know, and everybody's had these kinds of interactions that can be difficult sometimes, but it's always good to hear these stories on how that you can kind of bring them into the fold a little bit, because everybody can be on the team and everybody can find ways to work together. Andy, this was an amazing conversation. Thank you so much again for your time. I feel like we covered so many topics so well today. I want to ask you if you have anything else to add to this, or if you have any advice for anybody out there that's starting to get going with AI workloads and they're starting to feel this pain of trying to measure things in new ways and feeling the OCM, organizational change management, of having to like build an AI center of excellence and get all this stuff going. What do you have to say to those folks right now?
I think getting visibility of consumption, what you're using and how you're using it. You know, everyone's looking for the FinOps team to drive that agenda. So I think, you know, if you've got a FinOps tool already, speak to your partner, your FinOps tool provider. Ask them for advice about how you go about building bespoke reports that show token consumption by LLM, token spend within different LLMs, within different AI use cases, looking at things like cognitive services and how you're adopting cognitive services in all of the hyperscalers, and building reports that you can then share back with the organization to start educating them around, this is the impact that AI is having on our internal cost and consumption. And this is how much it's growing. And then people always get scared by figures when they see how fast it's growing. And then you can double down on that and say, look, I need some investment. I'm going to need to bring some resources in that are going to help me monitor this cost, measure it, and optimize it moving forward. You know, and when you show people the explosion and the growth that's happening within their organization around the use of AI, it very quickly turns into not a cost conversation, but a value-based conversation. And they need help from FinOps to help drive that value-based conversation. So start with the basics, get control of, you know, what you're consuming, and then show how that trend is changing. And then I guarantee you, it will unlock investment for you to do even more in the space of AI.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks again, Andy. Appreciate it. And everybody, thanks for listening through to this point. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next time.